Good afternoon. This is Father John on Holy Friday. I hope that you're having a good day, despite the breakup in church attendance this year. For today, we're going to concentrate on two readings, one from the Royal Hours, and the first hour in particular, and then from Hebrews. Which comes up in the ninth hour, as I recall. I forgot to make a note of that when I did my notes. I apologize. So the first one is Galatians 6, chapter 6, 14 through 18. Oh, and I want to qualify something I said yesterday. I said that I wasn't going to add, you know, too many sources. That's certainly true. But when I do, add sources or I mention them, I'll be sure to give the publisher and the title so that you can always get them yourselves. For what I did for today is I pulled these right out of the services in the Holy Week and Pascha book, the citations, and then went to the King James and wrote them down and made some notes. So let's go through them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So as I say, the first reading is from Galatians. Brethren, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in the body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Be with your spirit. Amen. Okay, so the first thing that we want to take note of here is the fact that he says that he should glory only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is very difficult for us to wrap our hearts around. Yes, and I did say hearts around, not minds around. Because we often can understand this intellectually, that the cross is the symbol of our faith. We make it when we say our prayers, we make it before we eat, and after we eat, we wear a cross around our necks, or at least we should be. And for those of you who are not, you need to wear it. So we understand its importance mentally. But the real question is whether we understand it deep in our heart. And this is where we have to really turn to God in prayer and ask him to show us the great significance of the cross. Thankfully, God sends us various trials so that we might learn how suffering is actually a blessing. And so for this reason, St. Paul says in this letter, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so then he goes on. He says, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And if we look at St. John Chrysostom's commentary to the Galatians, which is found in the Erdmann's set, the Nicene Fathers set. you can find that at Christian Book Distributor, by the way. St. John Chrysostom says, by world, he does not mean heaven nor earth, but the affairs of life, human praise, distinguished positions, reputation, wealth, and all things that have a show of splendor. All things are dead to Paul. And this, of course, is true of us as well, that in striving to be good Orthodox Christians, we should be putting aside the things of the world, earthly attachments, as much as is possible. And here, we don't want to try to do everything at once, because that is naturally, it's unreasonable. If we try to push ourselves too far, we can end up burning out, as it were. and not really making much progress. So we have to look for a reasonable next step, which we should be able to find through prayer and through discussion with our confessor, and also with active study of both the sacred scriptures and the lives of the saints, constantly looking for examples after which we may pattern our own lives. But in any case, we have to pick up our cross. We have to carry our cross. We have to deny ourselves. And this can begin even with little things, like forcing ourselves to get out of bed in the morning, to do our prayers, making sure that we don't eat too much at the table, not being picky about what we eat, things like that. Maybe going out of our way to help people when we just don't want to be bothered. So when St. Paul says, "By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world," St. John Chrysostom makes clear about what is meant by the world, right? So we need to reject the world and be in the world, but not of the world, as our Savior stresses. Now notice he says, he goes further. He says that we are new creatures, new creations in Christ. And here the significance of the incarnation again comes to the forefront. Because as we stressed in an earlier recording, Adam fell, and our Savior becomes the second Adam. And by taking on our nature, he heals our nature. Going to his passion and resurrection, he makes it possible for us also to be sanctified, to bear our cross with humility, and thereby to gain sanctification, and to arise with his arising. Right, so we have to see ourselves in this light. We have to recognize our great calling, namely that we are to be new creations in Christ, to reject the old man within us and to embrace the life in Christ. Okay, so I could go on in that section to Galatians, but I do want to talk a little bit about the reading from Hebrews. So, and as I said, this is found in the ninth hour of the Royal Hour service that was served this morning. And I should stress again that it's a very beautiful service. It's often overlooked, unfortunately, because of all there's so many services in Holy Week. But with everything that's available to us, even when we can't get to church, of course, unfortunately this year, most of us are not able to get to church. We should always try to read the Royal Hours in the morning on Holy Friday, because it is just full of scriptural readings and hymns that explain the significance of the feast and show how we are to think about the feast as Orthodox Christians. And this goes with our general theme in this little Bible study, which is that we want to approach the scriptures with the mind of the church, not according to our own private interpretations, but rather that we're approaching it with the mind of the church. So let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 31. It's a little lengthy, but I'll go ahead and read the section from the epistle, and then we'll just talk about a few passages. So, St. Paul says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire and indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. All right, so I actually want to begin sort of in the middle of this passage. Because he begins to talk about fear. He says, there's a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire and indignation which shall devour the adversaries if we do not take our high calling as Orthodox Christians seriously. And the reading ends actually on that note, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And here we have to recall the first verse of the Proverbs, the first verses of Proverbs, which indicate to us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise instruction. In recent years, even in Orthodox circles, people have begun to not like the word fear. They think it smacks of a God who doesn't love us or some sort of punishing God. But firstly, we always want to be worried when we think our language should be somehow loftier than the scripture themselves, the scriptures themselves, because the language in the scripture, that very language is employed. We see that St. Paul talking about the fear of God in this passage. We see Solomon talking about that in the Proverbs. We see it coming up again and again throughout the scriptures. So how are we to make sense of this fear? Well, it's a reverential fear, not a terror, not that God is a God who hates us, but the sort of fear we ought to have for our Father. And as I say, this reverential fear that evokes honor and obedience, because we fear the very notion, the very idea, even for a moment, of not following the commandments of God and not seeking to live the life in Christ. So with that in mind, let's go back to the beginning of the passage. When he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And this connects with a principle that we talked about in the when we talked about Job yesterday, namely that we are to have a godly courage, right? So our boldness is not to come from our own strength, but rather because we trust that we have been redeemed by Jesus' blood, His sacrifice on the cross has redeemed us, and that through the cross we can partake in the resurrection. So we don't ever want to think that, well, the faith is just simply too difficult. It's not possible to do these things. Nor do we want to think that we can just simply do them by our own strength and our own will. Rather, we want to have full trust in God, who is faithful, that promised, as St. Paul says, that if we fear him and seek to do his will, if we ask, we will receive what we ask for. Remember, our Savior says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So it relies upon us to resort to this godly boldness, having full trust and hope that if we turn to God, he will help us and will provide a way through our various temptations to the life in Christ. And then, of course, he reiterates that when he says that we ought to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Then notice he says that our bodies are washed with pure water. And of course, here he's referring to baptism. We must always recall our baptism. That when we went into the font, we left our old life behind, and we entered into a new life in Christ. And we're always as we go through our lives, we want to be again and again, as we always say in the services, seeking out Christ in our life, looking to actualize the grace within us, to that we may fill up within us this grace that we receive through baptism, chrismation, and of course through Holy Communion. Okay, now also notice, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, And this is I want to talk a little bit about this, and then we'll probably stop here for this evening because we have to get ready for the Lamentation service. But here, of course, St. Paul in his letter to the Hebrews is talking about the services, the divine services. And here it's so very important that we understand how important the services are, right? How nourishing they are to us. And here we shouldn't be dismayed. You know, recently Metropolitan Demetrius, in one of the talks that he gave to the faithful, pointed out that even though we're kept from church or from our regular attendance of church by this crisis going on now with the pandemic, if we seek God in prayer in our homes by reading the services, by participating in them through live streaming and so forth, God will see our heart, and He will vouchsafe us the grace of having participated in the service. So even in these times, we don't want to just sit home and, you know, watch Netflix and just waste time. We want to take these difficult times as a stronger call to prayer. The other thing that this emphasizes, though, too, is there's an assembly that should happen in our homes morning and evening with our families. It's very important as Orthodox Christians that we understand St. Paul's words here when he says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together in two senses. One, the obvious one, of course, is participation in the divine services in church. But the second one, which is often overlooked, is the necessity for husbands and wives and children to come together in prayer. And in our times of great distraction and artificial busyness, this often becomes very challenging. You know, there's the kids want to go one way, one kid wants to go one way, the other one wants to go the other way, and, you know, God forbid the father and mother are too absorbed in their phones and or whatever else, and the time for prayer in the evening comes and goes without the family praying together and perhaps without even any prayer at all. And this is a great sin. And when I say that, I don't mean that to chastise anyone per se. But I do mean for us to recognize how serious it is. We need to seek out God in prayer daily. We need to seek out God in prayer daily with our families. And here we married people have to think back to our wedding service. When we were married, the priest took us around the table in the center of the church. And on that table, there was a gospel and a cross. And that symbolized the fact that our whole life was to revolve around the church. Like Vladika Vitali used to say, the first hierarch of the Russian Church abroad, he used to say that the home should be like a little church. And so it's very important that we're striving to do this. And when we notice the obstacles, like people having different agenda, you know, different things to do, like one is attached to playing Xbox or whatever, this is where we have to pinpoint the habits that we have in the house that are undermining the common prayer in the home, right? Whether it's whatever it is, video games, you know, mom watching cat videos on YouTube, dad reading, some website that talks about how we're all going to get shuttled into camps or, you know, something like that. I don't know. Or whatever. Or watching too many sports shows. Whatever it might be, the bottom line is that just as we have to breathe first, we have to pray first. And the church it's very important that the church comes together in prayer. And that begins in the home. So with all those things in mind, God bless you, and may you have a fruitful and edifying Holy Friday, and of course the Lamentation service this evening. God willing, tomorrow after the Vesper Liturgy, at some time during the day, I'll be posting some thoughts, further thoughts on the lectionary. I'm probably just going to double up tomorrow because it's doubtful I'll have enough time. Or rather, I'll have time and pause, but I'll probably be quite tired. So I think I'll probably double up, God willing. So you're in my unworthy prayers. Please pray for us here at the initiative. And may God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.